then we need to be proactive about it and need to be thinking about that rate of change all the time. Sometimes change can come and it can make a big difference. An incident is recorded in the life of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A tribal chief comes to him and he says, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice, give me some good advice. And he takes control of your anger. So he listened. He said, anything more? And the Holy Prophet repeated, said, control your anger. So he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I will. Anything else? First time he said, control your anger. It's a main part of the message. He said, thank you, in left. He took a title sheet, comes to the Prophet, goes back. Now everywhere that, it so happened that his tribe was almost going to go to war with another tribe. It was accustomed there. You know what the reason was? Why one tribe was going to war with another? The camel of one tribe had damaged the property of that tribe, and therefore that tribe actually came out and beat the camel up, and therefore a fight started between those two, and pretty soon the two kabilas started preparing for war. And they were just waiting for the tribal leaders to actually come and lead the war effort. Either you are with us or you are with them. To lead the war effort. And the man came, the tribal leader comes and said, what happened? The incident was explained to him, and he said, fine, let's go to war. And just as their person and was accustomed that the two chiefs would begin the process of fight, just as he stepped forward and faced his enemy, he remembered the words of the prophet, control your enemy. And he sat back for a minute, thought about it, and he said, there is no need to go to war. If we have damaged your property, I am willing to make good any damage that was done to your property, and therefore let us not fight. And the other tribal chief was taken aback by this unusual approach. And he said, I'm also a smaller tribal chief than you are. If you're going to pay me back, I'm going to forgive you everything that you've done. This is human nature. That sometimes a small thing, one sentence, by the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say that control your anger literally stops perhaps the killing of so many people. The idea is that individuals matter. Individual effort, when it is combined with 500 individuals doing something, and 5,000 doing something, and 5 million doing something, it matters when it can start in one person. So instead of looking at change around us and saying that this society is so corrupted and that we live in a society that is going to corrupt our children and whatever, being negative, the heritage that we have is to see that we share the teaching of Abu Bakr and Muslim with the wider society that we have. I say this point in because after yesterday's lecture, there were certain questions and these are good questions, and this is the kind of discussion that we need to have when we have questions of this nature. That in terms of the concept of secularism, how does Islam view pluralism? Is there tolerance? Are we going to tolerate? Are we going to send everybody else to Jahannam? What is the basis of this? And inshallah, at the opportune time, I'm going to cover this. But here, the idea is that as Muslims, we need to be living here in this land where we place here for a reason I always believe. That living in this land, we have come here with our faith more than anything. We may have brought our cultural baggage with us, some of it good, some of it not so good. What is not so good we must share, what is good we must keep. The idea is that we are here we are afraid to have values, and it becomes a duty for us to be able to share those values with the wider society. It is natural, common human goodness that happens to be the filter of human beings, whatever their faith is. Islam is not intolerant of other faiths. La ikraha fi deen. There is no compulsion religion. There is no force. But when it comes to thinking correctly about the path of the poor of Ahlul Bayt, then there is a path that has been laid down by the Ahlul Bayt, and that path has no room for prudence. This is something that I will elaborate, inshallah, in the days to come. A definition of pluralism in terms of the other, the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an interesting subject. And the other point I wanted to make is this, that Mu'min, what I say from here is not to be followed. In fact, I would be defending my own argument that I've been making all across, to say let us think before ourselves. And the whole idea here is to provoke thought in various aspects of the discussion that we've been having, to say where is the people? Because in order to affect change, you know, there are different ways of being able to affect change. It's just like looking at history too, and this applies for change as well. See, when you have minds at a certain level, those minds will discuss personality. When you look at history, there are minds that will discuss personalities there at that level. Most of the level of the present journalism that we see, whether this is print journalism, whether this is television reporting or whatever, it has those minds primarily which talk about individuals, which talk about people, who did what, and one person having some kind of a relationship with an Indian becomes big business, and suddenly September 11 arrives and he's forgotten and left. These are those ones that discuss people at that peripheral and at that next level, because perhaps there is nothing higher than that. Then there are minds and people and groups that discuss events. In order to learn from them, they discuss events. For example, Hadith was an event. What happened at Hadith, for example? Or any other historical aspect, they discuss events. And it is a good way of discussing things to try and understand what happened. If an incident happened, an accident happened, we discuss the event. And then the higher level of discussion is to actually discuss ideas. Behind those events, who make those events possible and understand. So the idea is that you go to the level of discussing ideas. And that is the highest level of discussing history. There is also a level where when people think about ideas, then rather than merely events and people, that is the lofty level that an individual needs to reach. And it is his potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us here to reach that potential, to be able to understand and think in terms of ideas. During December of Nandu Barada, we said, Hikmah was a basis where two minds communicate at the level. Mawqifah was something that somebody would give down the line to say, well, this is what we need to do. Of course, if Mawqifah is the Kareem or Halal Islam, there cannot be this level of meeting of mind. It is Mawqifah for us to listen to them and maybe get an answer. But when we discuss among ourselves, when we talk to scholars, let there be hikmah, let there be intellectual discussion on the basis that we discuss ideas, and not just saying, well, so and so says this, therefore this must be right, and so and so says this, and because I like him or I don't like him or I don't agree with that philosopher, then he is wrong. The idea is, what is it that he says? What was his mind? And you can see the philosophical tradition is rich with short-term diversity. And we are encouraged, not discouraged, to think about other philosophies. If Zakat says something, when he says that I think, therefore I exist, or vice versa, it is something worth thinking about. And then when Zakat says that man is made up of assembled parts, then he has now removed spirituality from a human being, We need to understand what people like us are saying, and then we need to go and compare them with the concept of a human being as God to us by the Holy Prophet of Islam, from Allah, as well as the Ayyubah was trying to say what was that for, and let us go and compare. Let the channel be open. Let our young men and women go to the university, study political science, study sociology, look at these people here in the best opportunity that we have as a group of Muslims to enter some of the best educational institutions in the land to go and exercise our mind. There is no point in saying if you see now the great Muslim thinker. There is no point in saying that so and so invented such and such thing and he was a Muslim. Of course he was. But by merely saying that is not going to do it. The time has come once again perhaps that we have an opportunity, particularly our young men and women have an opportunity to go and excel in each of these fields, to see that they are able to do both, being able to study and understand the various sciences, the manner in which it is being taught at the same time, compare them so that they have that depth of tradition to be able to compare the two, and having compared the two, having thought it up intellectually, then they can go forth and tell them here in the university and wherever they may be, that here I'm teaching the Bible. This is our heritage, and this is our call, what we need. When we gather in gatherings like this, we should not really be discussing personalities, we should not really be discussing events that happen, we need to discuss the ideas which formulate the judgment. The research we went through, the day of Mubarak. Mubarak was a great event in the history of Islam to see who the purified ones were, but it doesn't stop at that. It needs to go beyond to say what was the philosophy of Ubaidullah. Why did the early prophet do what he did? What was the reason for the discussion with the Christians and the people of Ubaidullah, their good information, the way of debate that the early prophet himself put forth during the Ubaidullah is something that we need to learn and apply to our life. This is the way forward in so far as portraying the philosophy of Islam is concerned. But for us to sit here and use this country, forgive me, Mominin, for me for saying this, and allow this country to be used merely for Mulandara and merely for Tabara, because there is no basis in any case, because the example given us of this is to disrespect this particular place. To castigate others is something that is not required for us to learn what is good in our faith of the world to decide us. The poet has said, Hasti aati hai hame agar se insaan par, Hasti aati hai hame agar se insaan par, Forever good kare, rang kare, shaitan par. Everybody else, the environment around us is polluted, therefore we need to now save our children from this pollution. Well, that kind of argument is not going to work. First, we have got to make sure that the children that we have are those that are seen elsewhere. Where a five-year-old child will get up and say, when he's told that Jesus is the Son of God, a five-year-old child will get up and say, no, but I have been taught by my parents, by my faith that Jesus is a prophet of God. If we have that kind of implication within that, then we don't need to worry about the environment. Where should we be shunning the environment? We should be going out of the environment, creating these youngsters to say that here are the people who are going to talk about Islam. That is our call, Mominin. Not to try and discuss merely events or personalities. The idea is to go forward and discuss at a lofty level as to what our objective is. To continue with the subject, that a society that aspires to freedom, if one has understood the basis of talking, a society that is able to move forward in the one that has imbibed the essence of Tawheed in itself. Otherwise, when the Holy Prophet says, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ اصْبِرُوا وَاصْبِرُوا وَاصْبِرُوا It was not the Prophet's call which was wrong, there is something wrong with us. because the spirit of me, the spirit of that thinking has not been invited. So where does one begin? I can do no better than start with the words of Mawlana Muzakkar Imam alayhi salam, which is the first mudra. This is a very much mudra of the Nandu Kalaj, where he says that the foremost of these is to recognize. The beginning, the foremost of these is to recognize him, to recognize Allah. And then he goes on to say that the perfection of the cognition of him, the perfection of recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to acknowledge him, which means to acknowledge his existence, to know what he is, to know his attributes. This is the perfection of the cognition of him, is to acknowledge him, and the perfection of acknowledging him is to believe in Tawheed. This is the connection. In terms of the mind, Malibu is something that is so unique, once again, in the corpus of ilm as we understand. A philosopher has said that ilm, knowledge, ilm is a fire. Ilm is like fire that is burning. It is flame which is burning. And marifa is when you burn it. How beautiful! Where else can you find such a definition of ilm than within the corpus of Islamic philosophy and Islamic? And here ilm is a fire. And when you burn in that fire, there is marifa, there is knowledge, there is knowledge. Okay, Imam Zain al-Abidin in the next term. Talks about Ilmul Yaqeen, Aynul Yaqeen, Haqul Yaqeen. These are the same ideas of mind. That when you see fire, when you see smoke, then you know there is fire. That is Ilmul Yaqeen. But when you actually see the flames themselves, it is Ainul Yaqeen, you are seeing it. But when you actually put your finger and burn yourself in the fire, that is the level of Haqqal Yaqeen that you are in. These are the teachings of the Aiman. I would like to tell and show me another philosopher. Show me another theologian who is going to give you the kind of tafsir, explanations of things that can be understood by all mind at all levels, each according to his ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left. This is our heritage. So, to recap what we have been talking about in the last few days, that since thinking is not an option, and I elaborated on this right, therefore thinking becomes a religious obligation. You cannot afford not to think. You cannot not think, you have to think. And the direction and the evolution of a society, and hence the role of religion in the development of a society, is dependent on how we think and how we perceive and how we perceive the very first existence within our limited known and within our limited mind. Is the way we perceive Allah, and we talked about it yesterday. If you perceive Him as a lawgiver, then your focus and attention will be on the Sharia. If you perceive Him as love, if you perceive Him as beauty, then your marifa will be even higher to say that here is a beautiful deity that I am worshipping. Here is a good deity, here is an ali that I am worshipping. It is that basis which forms where a society goes. And therefore, to repeat, that either we can remain as ostrich Muslims, bury our heads in the sand, and ignore change, or we may become grasshopper Muslims, that everything is of that comes, we jump to it, or we understand, and understand the essence of the teaching which is our heritage, which is why we are here, and become agents. We are not alone in this. we're not alone. We take the first step. Our strength is the Ayurveda. Our strength is the worldview that we are taught by the Ayurveda. I say this when I repeat that a community that lacks the ability to adjust itself to the changing times either withers or dies. We have no choice but to continue to adjust change because there's the Urdu couplet of the Lord, the Nishan, Wahi Hai Samanang and Zinda Omukha. In every age, this alone must the vibrant brain. That every morning and eve its fortunes change. This is a state of trust. It's a society. It's not just retro, it's not just change that we are worried about now. No, it is a rate of change. It is corrupt. The rate of change is mind-boggling. There was a time we could deal with change because change was taking place. What happened in the last 50 years, you can perceive and look at the last decade and look at how fast things have changed and continue to keep changing. And this rate of change is going to continue to increase more and more, and therefore we need to be all the more aware of the change. Yesterday I also discussed, and we stopped here, to say that this is making an informed choice. We have three choices, don't we? You want to buy a house, you want to buy a home, you will look at the neighborhood, you will look at the demographics, you will look at the taxes, you will look at the roof, you will look at the window, and I could go on. It takes 6 months looking at 200 homes before you settle on one, because the kitchen in one wasn't big enough and the desk wasn't good enough, and so on. We do our due diligence. When it comes to a path of life, which is going to send us for here and will reward us for the year after, what do we do? Come to 2 meditations a week maximum on Thursday and perhaps some other day for Muharram and Ramadan, and then we expect that we will become good Muslims who know everything. Doesn't work for me. Doesn't work. From this prophet, all we can do is raise some questions. Each one of us has a responsibility to answer this question. When you are talking the, as they say, that bridge of Sirat, the pool of Sirat, and if you suddenly fall down, you cannot say that the Maulana didn't tell me about it. It is our responsibility, each one of us, to see that the path that we choose is the one that Allah has chosen for us. How do we know? That either we can have our own path with our own free will, or we have a path which others will fix for us, or we have a path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us. So the first one is, it's either my way or the highway. This is how I think, this is what I am all about. This path cannot be correct. When it comes to our faith, when it comes to leading our life, the first part is not correct because we may decide to act one day, the second day we may think that the decision was wrong, and we have been wrong many times. And everybody can be wrong, nobody is masoom, apart from the masoom. Everyone is liable to make a mistake. So disregard the decision was wrong. So owing to a proper lack of knowledge, maybe under the influence of certain tendencies, we are not capable of selecting the right path from hundreds of times. So it's not a matter of my free will, what path am I going to take for my faith. The second one, following others, look at what Maulana began. Just read those words. Can there be greater world of freedom? He said, and I quote, "Since my mother gave birth to me as a free man, why should I become a slave of anything whatsoever?" Pure Tawheed, slave of none but one, out of none but one, and we will come to the levels and degrees of shirk, and the idea of economic shirk, the idea of economic monotheism, and so on and so forth, social monotheism and otherwise, and perhaps a few other things that there. we are told as Bhagavan and Mukhajani, no answer to self, that blind following itself is a form of shirk, is a form of polytheism. The Holy Quran says, and this is not quoted out of context, that if you obey them, you shall most surely be one. It is blind following of those. My forefathers used to do this, therefore I must do it. It is always a done thing, and we have done this. I used to do this in Moshi back home, therefore I must do it here too. Or the difference in the custom of our family, we must do it. Or any other ism that we have that you follow without thinking, it is polytheism. So what remains for us is the path of the reason path. The path which is the path of Allah. Where, again, it's a question of belief or non-belief. In Surah Al-An'am, we are told that this is my path and it is straight. Follow it and do not follow other paths, which will lead you from far away from the path of Allah. Thus Allah guides you so that you may become pious. And also, in Surah Al-An'am, he has sent the book to his servant and has made it a flawless guide to many. Very exactly. Talking about that, let me talk about the fact as to how Imam Zainul Abidin explains it, or makes it. As to how he has explained it. He has said, and I quote, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ثُمَّ سَلَكَ طَرِيقَ فِي إِرَادَتِهِ وَبَعْثَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ مُحَبَّتِهِ. This is it, Sayyidina Sajjad, one of the first ones, where Imam says that Allah has created some on the path of His tariqa, on the path of His irada. He made a path of instinct, and others that He has created on the path of love. He was referring, and the Ulama have guided us from this to say that Imam was talking about all of the creatures he has drawn from the path of his irada, from the path of him. And it is only the human kind which has been blessed with the path of his love. Because the human being has been given an intellect to be able to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he will aspire to there is no issue. A bird is going to fly in a particular manner because instinctively it has been given that instruction. It has been programmed to fly in that. A bat will live its life in a way that it has been programmed. Every creature that submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the natural laws, the cosmos, and what everything in it which follows the natural laws, it is the way of the Karada, it is the way of the intersection. It is the way he carried on, it is the way he has instructed. And therefore, a donkey does not have any love as such. A donkey does not have any impetus to modernize itself. A donkey does not have any influence to intellectualize about anything. It is his path. He comes, he grazes, he goes away. That is what life was all about. For that creation, it is Allah's master. For the human being, it is a path of love. It is a path of intention where he has been given that path. To be on the path of love, he has been also given. And the whole subject of love can be a subject of a complete lecture to say how love changes. How love changes the center of a human being. And I'm not just talking about young men when they change, when they fall in love. What I'm talking about is the inspiration, the attitude of a person totally changes. To give you just one very small example, at 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody wakes you up and asks you for a glass of milk. Your neighbor comes Whatever your husna aqwal, however nice person you may be, you're going to say, put your waitress as in the morning to wake me up, you want milk at 3 o'clock in the morning? And consider that at the same time, exactly at the same time, in the same place, in the same person, or a father and mother, and each one wakes up and cries for milk, the mother or the father will run down and get the milk without any complaint. On the contrary, you fall in love with that infant, that the infant is satisfied. It was love. It was love towards that infant. Both ask for the same thing. The neighbor asked for milk, the infant asked for milk, because there was love towards the infant. There was an instinctive thing, affinity towards the infant, and not to the neighbor who stayed in my character. Here I was angry, there I was all too pleased to see that the infant was good. This is what is meant by the fire. In the same way, whether it is, if we have the inkling of knowledge and intellect within us, it is that love of intellect, it is that love of knowledge which will carry us there. If not, then we will remain on the jihada, on the basis that we come and grace and go away. That is not the path that was set for us. The path that was set for us then was to love Allah so that we are on the path of obedience. This is the path which has come to us from the infinite knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has come through to us through divine revelation, and it has been conveyed to us by the infallible prophet, the holy Imam, and the just and the upright Jewish, who we call our brother. This is how knowledge is transmitted. This is the path that we have charted for us. So, to begin with, the cognition of knowledge is to recognize Allah's unity, God's unity, and that we derive our virtue of our ease from this thinking and research. We go back. That thinking is not an option. Therefore, to think correctly, we must do. How do we do it? We look at what Maulana Muqtasir Imam Ali Rasulullah says about our ease. And this is where we are. So, we then need to build what we call the worldview of Tawheed. For me, when we discuss ideas, it becomes heavy going, so I apologize. That I don't have enough words for everything, I need to have substance, I need to have stuff, so I crave attention, this, that. The line of thought needs to be followed. It's not an easy job. What really is Tawheed? How to effectively apply to my life? These the answers will define what my worldview is, how I view my creation is going to impact how I live my life. It is the worldview of Tawheed. And if we try and define what Allah is, a human definition of Allah, we'll only be limited to the boundaries of the human mind. And therefore, the worldview of Tawheed, the very first lesson we learn, is that Allah must be defined in His terms, not ours. Can you understand the philosophical impact of something like this? That when you try and define Allah on His terms, not on my terms, that is the worldview of Him. That is the worldview as we are taught by the Al-Bayt al-Islam as to how to think correctly about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to clear the mirror. I talked about the mirror, for the knowledge to come, for that knowledge to penetrate, we need to clean the mirror. In order to clean that mirror, we need to begin by first, as we have been talking, thinking correctly, and there are so many examples given. And then, cleaning the mirror means to distinguish between reality and our perception. There is a reality out there, and there is my perception of that reality. This is highly philosophical. To distinguish between reality and perception, and sometimes it's not easy, it reminds me of an off-quoted anecdote where the sun had just returned, this was in the good old days in East Africa, the sun had just returned after 8 years of study, coming back with a PhD, sit down for breakfast with his father. And the father said, son, what did you study? And say, Dad, I study philosophy. And the dad, who is to run a business in East Africa, said, my son, tell me, you know, what is philosophy? Because at that time, all he knew was, the son came back, he was either an engineer, or was a doctor, or he was an accountant, mostly an accountant. So, the son said, you know, what do I explain to my father? It will take some time. So I said, Father, you know, I was sure he's ready, I'll talk to you about philosophy. And he thought, okay, let me start with reality and perception with my father. I said, what is the reality in philosophical terms of the perception? So they thought, as soon as they sat for breakfast, and the mother was making breakfast, and the first plate of which contained eggs came through. So the son said, now let him start. He said, Father, how many eggs do you see over there? And the father said, you know, I can't understand why he's asking me a question like that. Let's be humorous. I mean, he knows he's wondering why he's asking me this question. It's like you made him in Balloon that we talked about yesterday. So, to humor the son, he said, sir, I see one egg there. Said, you see, Father, this is wrong. What you see there is one egg, but I see two. So the father said, 8 years of all the money that I expected to be completely with. There's one egg here, he's talking about two. So I said, how can there be two eggs? I only see one. And the son says, look, that's one egg there. There's another egg which is in my mind that makes two. So the father, being a businessman that he was, he told the mother, don't bother putting another egg, and told the son, that you eat the one that's in your head. Distinguish between reality and perception. Philosophy is not an easy thing, but it is not outside the reach if we only try. The idea is to have reality and perception distinguished before we can start thinking correctly. Which means that we have to begin to challenge our beliefs. We need to challenge our beliefs. Certainty begins with doubt. You cannot achieve certainty. You cannot achieve yakin unless you begin with doubt. And yesterday we said that in terms of soul, to actually prove to ourselves of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also something that is our fitra. We need to think about it. We need to convince ourselves of his existence. It's a matter of challenging our beliefs. But that does not mean that while we continue to challenge our beliefs all the time, that the path that we have been blessed with should be left. This is not an invitation to my young friends to now stop praying and do everything that is into what religion. No, the idea is to challenge our health belief, to say what I believe in, what I've been taught to believe in, is this correct? I should read, I should investigate, I should discuss, but I should also challenge my beliefs. And once I'm convinced, Allah is going to guide me if I go out there with furus, with sincerity to go and see. But if I go there with an agenda, then I don't like this particular philosophy. Or the idea of fasting in Ramadan doesn't appeal to me. So now let me go and challenge my belief about this, and I'm trying to go and see every hadith that I've been working to find that is going to take me out of fasting. It doesn't work like that. The idea is to go for sincerely with a doubt to say, I'm going to challenge my belief and then come to the level of certainty. This is how things have to move. And most important, we need to share our baggage. We're getting a lot of baggage. We carry cultural baggage, and I don't just mean, when I say cultural baggage, I don't just mean, you know, our ego, past, whatever culture. I'm talking about cultural baggage, the acculturation that we also have been issued to in the land that we live. Every kind of cultural baggage has got to be checked. In order to become the thinking human being, this is not an idealistic man I'm talking about, it is realistic. And our young friends are blessed with an opportunity. Our young friends are blessed with an opportunity that today the doors to those universities are open. The facilities for learning, the facilities for academia if you feel that the house is so important, that God is so important, that after your first degree, you want to go into some kind of a job and make sure that you're married and you're not going to be taken care of, please register. You can get into academia with 10 times less money for you. Let the community progress academically and intellectually the way we ought to be in terms of raising the bar of this community to see that, yes, we are a bar with everybody else. Tomorrow we can see whether these are philosophers or Nobel Prize winners or whatever else coming out from the people. It is that love. The idea is that any enhanced knowledge and ill is being equated to godliness. I go to university, I'm going to get a degree in computer sciences, I'll become an IT professor, I will draw $90,000 in my first patient. For years, number one. And that's how it's equated. When ill has a far with the profession, let us not undervalue knowledge and short data. If there are opportunities to get knowledge, when it comes to getting knowledge, and let us also not be under any kind of misperception that the only knowledge that is only the knowledge we found in Hawa, in Al-Nafir, whom let nobody make any mistake on that. Our own ulama have not taken. There is a rich tradition of knowledge and evidence from those quarters. At the same time, there is a rich tradition of knowledge that goes through the academia here. We need to understand, we need to study, we need to be in between both things so that we become a bridge between the rich traditional cultures and the new thinking that pervades, so that we are able to stand on our own when it comes to love. So let us not undervalue and shortchange ourselves by merely equating knowledge with dollars and cents, knowledge for the sake of knowledge. Knowledge for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge because I want to develop in a human being. That is the baggage that we need to share. And who will help us share this baggage more than most? The ayah of the Quran, and I will stop here, there is much to say. As the Prophet removes all arduous rules and customs, the human being is based on the next like chance. This is applicable for all times, not just for that time. Noah was not the computer of China. So those who believe in him, respect him, aid him, who follow the light that he has been revealed to him, they are included, those who are saved in this world. This is the basis of the idea of Qala, of Qulu La ilaha illallah, Tukhiru, say La ilaha illallah, for the people of the state. Mumin, I have exceeded a little bit the time by the time I was finished with my time, so I apologize in advance. Tonight, we remember a question, a talk about love, a talk about morality. Tonight we remember a sense. The friend, the child friend of the man of Kenya, I mean, he reported that once the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, saying on the street, and he looked at the boy with such affection, held him up in his hands. So when people asked him, the Prophet is reported to have said that it is this Habib who will become one of the Ansar. Who will become one of the Ansar of Hussein in Karbala on the day of Ashura. It is this question. Habib was not a young man. Habib was only a young man. In Kufa, as well as in his teens, as he needs to live in a cane and bury seized swords and spears being prepared. And when he asks if these swords and spears are being prepared, to find the grass of the world. He was that friendship. And pretty soon, the bond between these two friends that he had in the Madai and King and left him for about 10 years. Telling him about his plight and asking him, he said that this was perhaps the only invitation that the monk had sent for anyone to join him. It goes to show the depth of feeling, it goes to show the understanding. And it is said that within no time only prepared for the journey. Mohini, there are many things written in the books of Prasad which have no basis. And therefore I do not repeat some of these things in that tradition of saying.